When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Andrews.
Good morning.
Unlike what your bulletin says, I'm not Eric. I think somewhere between, I started to say pen and voice, maybe I should say computer and bulletin, we had two preachers at the early service this morning, although only one of us actually did it. Eric was very gracious, and ceded it to me. I'm Fletcher Davis. I'm a retired priest. I live in Amherst, and it's a delight to be with you again this morning. What a treat you get this week. You get both the Feast of Christ the King today and the Feast of the Turkey on Thursday. So, what is this business about Christ the King? What comes to your mind when you think of kings? Maybe something like privilege, power, wealth, servants everywhere, answer to no one, governed by whim. Is that the sort of thing we normally think about when we think of a king? They've been tamed down a little bit in this century, but still that's the notion we have of kings. Monarchy probably goes back about as far as the human race because it's simple. One person is in charge, that person is chosen by birth, and that person reigns without any term of office, without any accountability, without any end until he ends. And in America, we're very fortunate because George Washington, our first president, served two terms as president and then stepped down and refused the rumor, at least, that he was going to be named king. And thereby, he saved America from the burden of monarchy. 30 years ago, my father and I stood before the royal riches in Copenhagen's Rosenborg Palace, Rosenborg Castle, I guess it's called, in front of all of Denmark's baubles of royalty. There were jeweled crowns of solid gold, scepters and swords, and even a sterling silver throne. And my father, who taught law for 60 years, and studied government in particular, wrote maybe a shelf of books this long on government and how it works, looked at all that wealth and commented, you know, monarchy is one of the worst government ideas ever conceived. So what in the world are we doing today celebrating the feast of Christ the King? Does that mean he was off base? Does that mean that Christ isn't a king? What does that mean? We're celebrating Christ the King today because the feast that we celebrate is not about kings. It's about Christ. And it's not actually about any king in particular except our Lord Jesus Christ. We can live without monarchy, but we cannot live without love. So I would suggest that René Descartes was wrong when he said, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. Wouldn't it have been better if he had said, amo ergo sum, I love, therefore I am? St. Paul said that in a different way when he wrote, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Today's first lesson is from the pen of Jeremiah, who lived about 600 years before Jesus. That was a time when the last kings of Judah were being slaughtered by the great powers of those days, Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. Does that sound a little bit contemporary? It was a terrible time to be alive. And Jeremiah was witness to that kind of carnage. And he was probably a victim of it. Nobody knows when or where Jeremiah died. And yet he was a man of amazing faith who could denounce what he called the inept shepherds. That was his term for the monarchs, for kings. And he could look forward to God's victory. As we heard in our first reading, I will raise up for King David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. Jesus was a unique kind of king that the world had never seen before. In today's gospel, we read that as the soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross, they taunted him and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. As St. Paul said in an epistle written many years later, he reflected on Jesus as the king and said, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself in all things. And so, even in the collect today, we pray that the peoples of the earth may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule. So the feast of Christ the King always comes on the Sunday next before Advent Sunday. And the season of Advent is the time when we look to the coming of Christ, past, present, and future, to the coming of Christ into our own lives. Let me approach this from a different direction, a very personal direction. During World War II, I decided to make an AM radio, a three-tube receiver. It was long before printed circuits and transistors had been invented. And so it took a lot of work to solder one thing to another and get it all ready to go. It took weeks for me. And finally the day came when I thought I'd finished the job and I got a chance to turn it right side up, plug in the tubes, turn on the switch, and scan the dial to see what stations I could pick up. And what did I get? Static. Only static. Back to the drawing board. Fortunately, I was able to find a wiring diagram. And I spent the next week or so trying to find out where I'd made the mistakes, pulling out one wire and soldering it to another post. And then when I turned it over and turned it on, I got stations up to 1,000 miles away. And that is salvation history in a nutshell. God created the cosmos and this planet and us, and raised up prophets to teach us how to live appropriately in this world. Moses came down from the mountain with two stone tablets etched with something that he called the Ten Commandments. The law brought order out of chaos and offered a way to live harmoniously in a very dangerous world. And it gave us a chance to turn right side up the things that seemed upside down, to follow a wiring diagram was up to us. He gave us free will, a chance to follow that wiring diagram or not. But I would suggest if we don't follow that wiring diagram, we shouldn't be surprised if we get static. That's the Old Testament in a nutshell. So then we ask God for justice. And God offers us justice. And yet we chose in our selfish ways instead of God's loving way. It turns out that we didn't want what God gave us. We didn't want fair play, but our own way. Nevertheless, our loving God became human to meet our needs on our level so we could see what love incarnate really looked like and how that worked and in the world in which we live. But we still didn't get it. So Jesus suffered for our sins, took the rap for us, died on the cross, and demonstrated to us personally what divine love really looks like. It's we, not the blameless Messiah, who deserve to die. When Jesus' love triumphed even over death, we realized that Christ is not only King of the Jews, he's King of the cosmos. And that's New Testament history in a nutshell. What does all this say to us today about Christ our King? Christ our King needs neither scepter nor sword. He rules not by force, not even by words, but by love. He demonstrates in his own life how the world works, how to experience God's love, how we can rejoice in God's love, and how we can share God's love. To help us live such fulfilling life, Christ the King gives us one more wonderful gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit, so that we can love more nearly as Christ loves. And I'd leave you with this, a challenge. Our challenge today is, how can we proclaim Christ the King in a world of pain? How can we express the love of Christ the King in a world of pain? Let's work on it. Amen.